Ultimate Trivia Podcast.
Welcome to the Ultimate Trivia Podcast, the show where knowledge is power and laughter is the real MVP. I am your host, Andy. We've got the whole crew in the house tonight. Who am I starting with? Kelly Ray in the corner. Are you a nap guy?
I used to be more of a nap guy. I'm not so much anymore, but I love naps, especially when my kids were nap age. I was mad when my youngest one quit taking naps. Oh, man, that made me so furious because I would take a nap too.
Naps
mean that was very disappointing when my youngest stopped. It really was.
It's a hard time in my life.
I mean, is a nap a 20-minute kind of sitting upright on the couch, close your eyes and recharge, or is it a climb into bed, a three-hour fan on?
That's embarrassing. Let's do a couple hours. I know they say 20 minutes great for you or whatever. Yeah. I'll take a couple hours in the bed.
Yeah, I can attest personally.
Mine's an hour.
Yeah. Okay. I can take a 90-second micro nap at my desk, and it is unbelievable. It always shocks me how effective
that would just make me mad.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
This is bullcrap.
Brian.
Yes, sir.
I want to know your strategy, or your expectation is the better word, for merging with traffic.
Merging with traffic?
Yeah.
Blinkers.
I don't know. I try to be somewhat aggressive, but not too aggressive.
So you're the person who causes traffic jams.
There's a lane that's closed.
No, come on.
We can all be honest with ourselves. No, I
get aggressive, but not too aggressive. I'm going to get crazy. But yeah, I'll put my butt out there if I have to, for sure.
If you know that there's three lanes and the far right one is eventually going to be the one that closes, how many car lengths is too far? How many car lengths from the closure? It's too far that you've traveled, and now you're one of those guys instead of zippering.
I try not to be that guy. I try not to be the guy that's at the end, because then you're like, okay, because you feel like arrogant, like I'm just gonna pass all y'all, and then I'm just gonna come in and cut you off.
I'm not waiting with you guys.
I don't do that. I get semi close, but I don't want to be that guy that passes everybody. I'm in. Screw you. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, Scotty.
Yo.
I think I asked somebody this question already, but it wasn't you. Give me your coffee routine or your relationship with coffee.
I'm on a 3-cup-a-day habit.
Ooh.
That's, you have a problem. Okay.
I'll do 2 in the morning.
That's nothing.
And then 1 in the afternoon. Yeah, I heard Nick, I think his answer last time was he does a pot and he threw it.
We'll save that for another day.
Right.
I like a cup of coffee after dinner sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, once a week I'll have it after dinner with a dessert.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Out of the Keurig or you'll
I'm usually Keurig. I'm the only one in the house really drinks coffee. My wife's starting to get a little bit more into iced coffee, but generally I'm the only coffee
drinker. Let me ask this. Does television, this is a weird question.
Yeah.
Television ever influence your decision? So sometimes in the evening, I'll be watching a show and they keep drinking coffee and I'm like,
puts it in your head.
And then I'm like, I want a cup of coffee. You know what I mean? Seriously. Yeah. That's serious. Does that ever happen? No.
No. Okay. But I had a habit, especially in the summer when it's hot, to get an afternoon big gulp of soda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've slowly kind of replaced that with a cup of coffee.
Oh, okay.
Fair enough.
So
it's healthier.
Yeah. So it's
better for you.
Yeah, a feeble attempt to be a little healthier.
I think you're just getting old.
Yeah.
Quick answer. Do you like a good coffee house, caramel macchiato? You like the sugary version also or no?
Those are fine, but I'm usually.
Yeah, I've been to Starbucks with him. He orders some weird stuff.
Yeah. I'll get a macchiato. But generally I drink, black coffee and then I'll add a little creamer. I don't put sugar in it.
Yeah, you do. Okay. Very good.
Nicholas.
Hey, I put your feet to the fire a little bit in last week's episode. I'm going to do it again. On a scale of 1 to 10, and we're going to call you out if you're wrong, how good of a secret keeper are you?
Oh, that depends on the secret, I would say, the severity of it, but
always depends.
Not a 10. I'm not a 10. I cannot say I'm a 10. I would say I'm a 7.
Okay.
I'm a 7.
It's not bad.
I'm a 7. You know, if something had to be taken to the grave, yes, I could do that. But
how often do you find yourself saying, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but?
Not that often.
Not
that often. Because a big part of it is I don't care about the other people's, secrets and stuff like that.
Liz is a 10 and I appreciate it.
I'm not a secret guy, right?
I mean, really,
The only it doesn't do much to for keep me. A secret is if you don't want people to know.
It. If it's a secret, why are you telling me in the first place? Knock it off.
Well, that's the truth. It's no longer a real secret anymore.
It's a great point. Don't put it out there if you don't want people to know.
Makes a lot of sense.
Leave it out.
It does.
Yeah. All right, Andy, we need to get to know you. So I'm going to ask you if you are a bagel or a toast guy and defend your answer.
With the appropriate cream cheese, I'm bagel over toast. But I do enjoy a good piece of buttery and jammed toast.
What's your go-to jam?
Something not normal. Okay. Whatever the not normal option.
I'll be sure.
So not great.
Give me a huckleberry or a what's the one up in Michigan?
Give me an I'll be sure.
I don't get it.
My favorite one, favorite jams.
Right.
That sings jams.
It was right over.
Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah, I like the weird ones.
Okay.
Blackberry, something like that.
Okay. Nice. Yeah.
Blackberry smoke.
There you go. Thanks. Hey, I appreciate you asking.
Yeah, I'll throw you a bone every once in a while.
Okay.
Somebody does care about you.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Scotty, it is his episode tonight. Scotty, standard question. Has this one been in the hopper a while, or is it a fresh topic for you?
Fresh topic.
Oh, boy, that always makes me nervous because he gets these random inspirations that don't make a lot of sense out of the gate.
I actually had to pivot. I have one I'm excited about, but it needs more thought to craft it into a whole.
Very exciting.
Yeah, so.
Good deal. Okay, we have a question of the week that we need to address. I think Pro-Am's got that for us.
You betcha. Our listener question of this week comes from Dr. Chris, who reached out to us on our webpage with this question. If you were to pick one person in the group and liken them to a specific car, who would it be and which car would it be?
Is Dr. Chris, is that his first name or his last name?
We've heard from Dr. Chris before.
Oh, have we?
I think so.
Is that a first name or last name?
I'm going first.
I don't trust any doctor that goes by Dr. First name. Oh, I don't like that.
Are we calling question to the doctorhood?
Dr. Chris?
Dr. Phil?
That's his first name?
Well, it doesn't mean he's an MD. Exactly. We call Dr. Scott Dr. Scott.
He's not a real doctor.
Well, maybe
Dr. Chris. I've never said Dr. Scott. Maybe he doesn't want his last name out there.
I'll say Dr. Scott.
Though. I understand.
Can you blame him for not wanting to be associated with this show?
Oh, definitely. I contemplate that on a daily basis.
So I understand the question. Are we supposed to pick one person and liken them, or am I supposed to go around the room?
No.
Just pick one.
No, just one.
Perfect answer.
Nick's a Hummer.
Okay.
Well, why is he a Hummer?
I do not know how to take that at this point.
Because he's just big, large. I'm not talking about body. I'm just talking about, personality.
Uh-huh.
He's big, he's large, he's in charge, he's the boss. He's a Hummer. You know what I'm saying?
I like it. No.
I'm large, I'm in charge, I'm the man, I'm a Hummer.
That's what he gives.
And that just was real quick to my head. I didn't really think it through. That's what I hit.
At first, I wasn't sure where we were going, but you definitely solidified. To me, it's a compliment.
Okay. I would take it that way.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Oh, no.
And it's gas powered.
Definitely.
No. There's no eco on this side.
There's no EV.
Can you crab walk?
What?
Can you crab walk?
Because
LeBron says they can crab walk.
I can crab walk.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he's a Hummer.
It'll hurt.
He's a Hummer for sure.
Okay. All right.
Well, Kelly is 100% a Subaru wagon.
Oh,
100% of Subaru.
I figured it was a wrecked Camaro.
Subaru wagons are most commonly owned by suburban urbanites.
Oh, yeah.
But they want you to think that they are these rugged outdoors people.
That's an insult.
But they have canoes that have never been wet before. Kayaks, actually.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah.
I mean, they're very well rated vehicles.
Yeah, they're very dependable. Subaru wagon specifically.
A wagon.
A wagon.
Station.
They're very safe. They're very safe.
Very safe.
It's a good. That's
a
common
car for a specific type of specific demographic.
Yeah, you.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
We're gonna change its name to the Kelly here. I also have one for Scott.
It's
as vanilla as Scott actually is.
No,
I
appreciate
the old Volvo.
Oh, nice.
Dependable.
Very safe. Once again, very safe.
Absolutely. I trust my children's lives in a Volvo.
Yeah. That's great because I have one. I have one keyed up for Andy. And it is a Kia Soul.
I love that. That's hilarious.
I'm sweating. It's very attention grabbing. But once you get in, you're like, oh, this has a lot of features.
That's fantastic.
I'm crying.
That's great.
Yep.
That's a terrible car.
The Kia Soul, the roller skate.
Oh, man, that's
funny. Roller skate.
The roller skate.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That's but it's trying really hard to be noticed.
I'm going to have to shed some layers here.
Oh, that's good.
Anybody got one for Big B over here? Seeing something, you know, bulky. Something with a large presence.
79 Ford Bronco.
Oh,
yeah, that's yes. Good.
It's a pile of man beef.
Perfect. I love you.
Raw testosterone.
Yeah.
Maybe a white Ford Bronco.
Chase involved, whatever.
Yeah. Did we get Nick done yet?
Yeah.
Hummer.
Yeah, Brian's on Hummer.
Yeah.
Okay. He's the boss. He's the boss.
He is the boss.
I'll take that.
That's right. Well, that was amazing, Dr. Chris. Thank you very much.
The only ones that was off was Andy's completely.
Yeah, right.
Do you use the term bespoke?
Do you own North Face or the other one?
No.
How many hats?
Patagonia?
Yeah. That's the other one. Do you own any Patagonia?
Yes, he does.
Too expensive.
Do you own
it? I had a hat.
Yes.
I remember the hat.
He literally has an L.L. Bean jacket on right now.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the guy said, hey, buddy, like my 5-year-old just did that with Crocs. You can put the walkers away.
No less than an hour ago.
Right. All right. We're moving on. Thank you again, Dr. Chris. If you would like to send the show a question for us, always ask us to make fun of each other. That is our favorite thing to do, of course.
Absolutely.
And you can send that to theultimatetriviapodcast@gmail.com. Or
we gotta take it off. It's a nice jacket.
I'm good. Laughing too much. I'm hot.
I know. I'm sweating. Anyway, you can find us all over the socials. Check our show notes. You got all kinds of tabs there. All right, Doc. I think it's time for you to take over here, bro.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I've already titled the episode. I know the listeners already know it, but you're hearing it for the first time. It is From Page to Screen.
Oh, book adaptations. Oh.
Movies based on novels, short stories, and other forms of literature have long served as a bridge between the written word and the visual world of cinema. These films not only celebrate the richness of their source material, but also demonstrate how stories can evolve, highlighting the enduring power of storytelling across mediums. So as you can hopefully discern, it is written literature that has been made into a movie.
Forgot to know.
Specifically movies?
Book titles?
Movies.
Yeah. Okay.
We're going to need to know book titles or the movies?
Yeah. No, I'm leaning more on the movies.
Okay.
But it's a potpourri, but I would say it's more of a movie trivia than anything.
Okay. Oh, I like that.
And you'll probably, some of these you may not even realize they were books.
Perfect.
Sounds about right for me.
Yeah. But I was clear to say written literature. It's not just novels. Because that will come up.
Short story, you're saying?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Okay. Other forms of literature.
I gotcha. Yeah, absolutely.
It is written literature. That's your hint for the episode.
I got an idea why that hint just was dropped.
The Passion of the Christ.
Dang it, Kelly, me
right.
too.
Right.
Kobe.
But anyway, that's what we got. There will be some bonus points. Okay. But I can't
hold
tell
on.
You.
Time out.
Yeah.
We say Jordan.
Oh, my mistake.
Jesus.
What? I missed it.
I hit a bank shot into the trash can.
Yeah.
And it's when I was teaching, when they would shoot a paper wad and make it, they'd yell Kobe.
Kids. Sure, I've heard that.
Ah, gotcha.
And kind of corrected me that we're the Jordan.
I think it depends where the shot's at. It's far out, I'm saying Miller. I think Jordan.
Anyway.
All right, ring the bell.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Ring that bell.
It's time for the main event, our 10-question trivia game on adaptations to movies, literature adaptations to movies. And Scotty rolls right off the tongue. Scotty will be your host. Here's how it works. He's going to read the questions. We're going to write our answers on our whiteboards. When he says reveal, we must show our answers. If we get it right, Nick's going to give us a point.
Yep.
And if we get it wrong, that is when the real fun begins. I always love it when Scotty hosts because he typically makes fun of Nick a lot. So, okay, yeah, we're going to kick it off with our Cheers beers. Everybody's drinking their own this evening. So thank you very much for helping us fund and wet our whistles for the night. Pro-Am, who do we have to thank for this one?
You bet. Tonight we have two donors.
Cool.
Nice.
Yes, Grant Sullivan and Paige Donnelly.
Grant and Paige.
Donated for the Buy the Crew Around donation. We sure do appreciate it.
Where do we find that?
On our webpage.
Show notes.
On our show notes.
Thank you, Grant Page.
Thank you very much.
Cheerio.
All right, Doctor, all yours.
All right, here we go. As I mentioned, there are some bonus points as we move through the trivia.
I don't think you mentioned that.
But I can't tell you how many because it's tied to a question. Okay. You'll understand that when we get there. All right, here we go with question number one. Based on a 1996 novel, this movie follows the story of an unnamed man struggling with insomnia who meets a mysterious man named Tyler Durden.
Nice. Now, we are naming the movie?
Naming the movie.
Okay. What?
Why am I having a brain fart? It's one of my favorite movies, too.
Oh, is it?
Okay, got it. Okay.
Based on a 1996 novel, this movie follows the story of an unnamed man struggling with insomnia who meets a mysterious man named Tyler Durden.
Your prediction is already true. I did not know this was a book.
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Right. That's why I didn't ask anything about the book.
Yeah, got it.
So, looks like most people who are going to write an answer down have written an answer down.
But you don't have this?
I've
been there, brother.
I'm sure I've seen it, but no, I got nothing.
You'll know. I've been there.
You've seen it.
Maybe.
Okay, let's reveal. And we have Fight Club from everyone but B who abstained, and that is the correct answer.
Right. Seen that, B?
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
As soon as I saw your answer, I'm like, oh, yeah, yep. Okay.
Tyler Durden.
So, Kelly says one Titans. Of your favorite movies?
It. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that movie.
Anybody else? Did anybody know it was a book?
I did not.
No.
Yeah, I actually know it was a book, but I had no idea of the answer. But well, I knew sure. it was a book.
They don't actually say, so Edward Norton's character doesn't actually have a name? I mean, I know, like, when he goes to the things, like, he says, like, Cornelius, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like, the name he gives, but they don't actually.
So I even checked on IMDb, and he doesn't have a name. I think it might reference him as narrator. I think that might be his
name. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, in the book and in the movie, Ed Norton's character in the movie, doesn't have a name attached to him.
Book by the same name?
Yep, called Fight Club.
Because he is Tyler Durden.
Yeah, because he is Tyler Durden.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, folks. I didn't mean to ruin it for you.
Spoiler alert. So the movie was released just 3 years after the novel was published. In the book, there are 8 rules in Fight Club, with the first 2 being you don't talk about Fight Club. So there are actually 6 more rules after that.
So what are you doing right now?
Talking about
breaking the rules.
Man. And on to question number 2 is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Here comes your first opportunity at an extra point.
Okay.
2 possible points. You can get 0 points, 1 point, or 2 points on this question. Suzanne Collins authored The Hunger Games, which was successfully adapted to the big screen. What is the name of the title character? 2 points possible. And I'm looking for a first name and a last name.
Nailed it.
Can't wait to hear the follow-ups.
Suzanne.
So it's a point for the first and the last name, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
so you can get 2, you can get 2 points.
My mistake.
But if you only know the first name, I'll give you a point.
I thought there was follow-up.
Feeling generous. So for the listeners, I'll read it again. Suzanne Collins authored The Hunger Games, which was successfully adapted to the big screen. What is the name of the title character?
I know the movie. Can't think of it.
Okay.
I mean the title character?
Yeah, can't think of it.
I feel like that doesn't sound right for some reason.
The main character? Would you like
main character
sound better?
Yeah.
You should
was like the title character was
the
named
main
Hunger
protagonist?
Game.
Would that be better?
Nick? He doesn't.
Sure, I'll take that too. Don't say words.
What'd you call me?
Nick gets a 3rd point for spelling protagonist correctly. All right, we're out of time. Let's reveal. We have Katniss Everdeen all the way around the
room.
Brian, what is going on? Did you get any sleep last night?
Yep, I know that.
I know you do.
Katniss Everdeen is correct.
Yeah.
Spelled with a K, by the way, Katniss.
Darn it. I wasn't sure about that.
Yeah. Wasn't either.
Kelly. Third movie shouldn't have been in there.
Holds you to a higher standard over there.
Yeah. I believe there's 5 in the
universe,
if you will.
And another one coming.
Oh,
4 originals and
the Haymitch.
Right? Yeah.
Each one after a book that she wrote or
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this Snow, I mean, she has continued writing See, in the universe.
Well, I know for the movies. I don't know about if there. I mean, is there a show coming?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not show. Snow. The
yeah.
Prequel.
No, I know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, but the question was about The Hunger Games, which is the actual title of the first book.
Right.
Yep.
Got it. I figured if I said, I originally wrote it as the Hunger Games series, but then that's not 100% true because prequel Katniss isn't in, you know, prequel. So
sure.
Anyway, as of 2023, the book series has sold over 100 million copies worldwide and continues to be a significant influence in young adult literature and pop culture.
Nice.
Great movies. I love those.
They're pretty good.
The first two, anyway.
I enjoyed them.
And when they get me into the meaty part of the rebellion, I lose a little bit of interest.
But it's a lot of the unknown with the early movies. You're not sure what is going on.
Definitely.
And
the games themselves, as horrible as they are, they're compelling.
Woody Harrelson's fantastic.
He is a very good.
Yeah.
And Lenny Kravitz, too.
Yes.
I like Lenny Kravitz was great, too. Yeah.
Woody Harrelson absolutely never had a bad role.
He's fantastic.
All right, well, let's cruise on to question number three. Alice Walker's 1982 novel about Celie Harris, an African-American teenager in early 20th century rural Georgia, was adapted for the big screen in 1985 and directed by Steven Spielberg. Looking for the name of the name of the book and the name of the movie. So.
Wait, say the. I'm sorry, I started writing being cocky, and I think I heard something
that lost
went away from it. So please again.
Alice Walker's 1982 novel about Celie Harris, an African-American teenager in early 20th century rural Georgia, was adapted for the big screen in 1985 and was directed by Steven Spielberg.
The director part's kind of screwing me up, but I think I got the rest of it.
Spielberg? Is it? Am I hearing it right?
Right. So the answer is the name of this movie and the name of the book, same title.
Please read it one more time.
Alice Walker's 1982 novel about Celie Harris, an African-American teenager in early 20th century rural Georgia, was adapted for the big screen in 1985 and directed by Steven Spielberg.
Could I
name that movie?
You may not be able to answer the question.
Yeah.
You said it was adapted in 1985. Is that also the release of the movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Came out in 1985.
Got it.
Legitimate question.
Yeah, it was surprisingly legitimate.
Thank you. I feel validated.
All right, Nick shook his head as he wrote down his answer, but I think we all have answers on our whiteboards, so let's reveal. We have the color purple all the way around the room, except for Nick, who wrote E.T.
E.T. is an African-American. Yeah,
Spielberg? I didn't know Spielberg did the color purple.
Well, let's see if he did.
Yeah, fair point. Yeah.
He did. He wrote.
I had no idea.
It's not
I didn't
E.T.
know either, Nick, for the record. I did not know that he did the color purple.
I just went
purple.
Based on the description of the movie.
No, that did throw me off a little bit. I did not know Spielberg did that.
Yeah,
so I was like, whoa. But I'm like, with the... Everything before that,
I remember the character's name. So that's
right. I don't remember. I don't know that movie.
Yeah. Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah, I know. Right. I really don't know the movie. Wow.
Drawing a blank. Whoopi Goldberg was was Celie Harris, actually. I think she was the main.
That sounds right.
A young Whoopi Goldberg. The book won the 1983 Pulitzer Prize for Fiction, making Walker the first Black woman to win the award for fiction. The movie was nominated for 11 Academy Awards, but didn't win a single Oscar. The movie holds the record for most Oscar nominations without one for Best Director.
Wow.
So Spielberg did not get a nomination
How
for Best
that?
Director, even though they had 11.
11, and he can't get a nod.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel like he
different times back then.
I feel like maybe he pissed somebody off at some point
by making that movie
or something. Maybe
yeah.
I don't know. A lot of his movies are explosions. So I guess
Spielberg.
Yeah.
So we're sticking with
Blockbusters.
Spielberg, and this for whatever reason I put the layup as question number four. So
No pressure then.
We'll see.
Brain aneurysms aside, let's see how we do on this one.
That's you, Nick.
Talking about you.
Michael Crichton's 1990 novel about lab-created dinosaurs was adapted for the big screen by Spielberg in 93. And yes, that's the year it came out, 1993. Looking for the name of the book, name of the movie, same title.
pretty sure there's a double letter in there, but I don't know which one it is. It could be one of three.
I really want to do a spelling.
That's funny.
Spelling
right?
one.
Am I right?
I'm with
not?
You on that. I'm right? with you.
It could be one of three.
I picked one, but I'm with you.
Yeah. No.
So I'll read it one more time. Michael Crichton's 1990 novel about lab-created dinosaurs was adapted for the big screen by Spielberg in 1993. Is everyone has something down? I think Kelly's drawn a picture would be my guess. Let's reveal. And I'm somewhat right. Jurassic Park all the way around the room. And that is, of course, the correct.
Are you enjoying answer. Your chisel tip marker there, Kelly?
It's a great drawing. Yeah. Hello, my name's Simon. I like to do drawings.
Oh, my. If any time since that movie made its way to DVD, mm-hmm. if I bought something that would need to be. I'm completely at a loss of words. I know. If I buy like a new sound system, surround system, a new stereo, or something like that, you Jurassic
that on,
Park is
gotcha. You put that on the test.
And there
the
is testing. No greater display of awesome sound than, I mean, the whole movie almost. The soundtrack is amazing, or the I score, I should call it.
I didn't Incredible. See the first Jurassic Park until like in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you think? Did it hold
Snooze
up for
fest.
You? Yeah, I figured.
Not.
It was I groundbreaking mean, like, I like in '93.
The new man. Ones are... Better than the originals, in my opinion. I know that's crazy. Wow. Whatever.
That's
but like fake. Overall, not a big fan of it. Period. Just didn't do it for me.
So I saw there's a movie trailer out right now. I don't know what it's for, but there's a dinosaur in it, okay. and it roars, and I'm like, that is the same sound they used from this movie in '93.
I understand, like yeah, the technology. I get that. I'm just saying the movie in general.
I wish
like,
you could right, see it through your 1993 eyes. I mean, unbelievable. Of special effects because well, it was sure. mostly robotics,
yeah,
or animatronics.
I get it, yeah.
which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like talking about sounds, there's a famous scream. It's called the something scream, and they use it in all kinds. The Morton scream or the Morton fall.
No,
but anyway, but they use it in the different movies because like, the sound. Oh, wow. The guy falling.
Yeah.
It's been
yeah.
used hundreds and hundreds of times, and it was recorded like the 30s or 40s.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. I don't remember the name of that.
Pro-Am maybe could help us out with that.
She wasn't listening.
Yeah, there's a famous movie screen they use in movies.
Famous screen in movies. Scream in movies.
They use it in the original Star Wars, I know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
It's a stormtrooper.
And
when, when you hear it, yeah, it's like sounds like a woman shrieking.
That's probably pretty good.
The Wilhelm scream.
There you go.
There you go. Beat Pro-Am to it even.
All right. Well, we'll do one more question, and then we'll check in with Nick for a score check. But here we go with number 5.
Wait. We got 5 on the board.
There was a bonus.
A bonus point.
Katniss Everdeen was a 2-pointer.
I withdraw my...
your objection.
I withdraw my objection.
Back to the studio, Brian. Just keep your mouth shut.
Objection hearsay.
I'm sorry.
All right, here we go. Somebody's favorite movie in this room. The 1995 movie Braveheart is based on this type of literary work.
What? That's my favorite movie, but what do you... What?
Yeah, I'm struggling.
I don't know what that means. I don't even know what that means. I really don't.
So all of them so far have been novels.
Okay.
I'm not going to name other types of
I got
written stories.
I know what you're. I know exactly what you're referring to, and I'm gonna. I got one written down, but that's not what I'm thinking.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Right.
That question seems really vague to me.
Yeah, it's outsmarting. Yeah.
The 1995 movie Braveheart is based on this type of literary work.
It's a BS question. Sorry.
Novel That's is tough. An example
yes.
of a literary work.
Novel.
You good, Andrew?
Yeah. I don't. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I'm all right. Nick?
You going to write something down?
I have some written down, but I whatever. Okay. We'll go for it, yeah.
We'll reveal. Biography by Nick, a journal from Andy.
Great answer.
An epic poem from Kelly. And the correct answer is a poem.
Yeah, yeah. Made
is that you,
the
Kelly?
The moment I saw
it. Poem? Wow.
Specifically an epic poem, but I would have accepted poem, but
yeah.
good on you for knowing that it was an epic poem.
All right. Oh, that was the official answer?
I feel validated that I was at least answering the question correctly, because I wasn't quite sure where
that
to
was
go
just
with.
Tough for me to try to wrap my mind around what he was going for.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was written in the late 15th century by Blind Harry.
Yeah. Vision is sharp as a hawk.
And
baby.
This is the translation out of Old English, I guess. The Acts and Deeds of the Illustrious and Valiant Champion Sir William Wallace, which Very commemorates cool. his life of the freedom fighter who lived a century and a half earlier. The poem is historically inaccurate and mentions several events that never happened.
Oh, in the poem.
In the movie as well. I mean, the
Blind Harry was a liar, yeah,
Brandon.
They didn't wear kilts back then.
Yeah, for real.
Oh, really?
And that's most of the battle, like those didn't actually happen.
As they were depicted on the. Yeah. Oh, no kidding. Brian, do you know this? Scotty mentioned that this is one of our favorite movies. This is Brian's favorite movie of all time, right?
I think is it, would you say it's your favorite movie?
Probably all time. I had to, it's probably my favorite.
Tight between that and Saving Private Ryan, I'm guessing.
That's up there.
Yeah. Good battle.
Oh, you got more? Oh, we'll talk about
it. I got a couple more, yeah.
But no, did you know that it was...
based off a poem?
Somewhat inaccurate, historically inaccurate?
Yeah, I knew. I did not know it was based off a poem, but yes, I knew that.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
All right, well, we're halfway through this. Let's check in with Nick right after we get a word from our sponsor.
So after five, from worst to first, B, you have two, I have four, Andy with five. Kelly with six. That's perfect, and right? Perfect again.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, doing well.
You guys jinxed me last time.
You still won, but you didn't get the
barely.
How many does Andy have?
He went over two.
Andy is one behind you. He has five. You have six. Andy has five.
Well, I have a perfect game buster for Kelly's perfect score here.
Oh, perfect. Is it number six?
It's right
question,
now.
Question number six.
Right.
Oh.
Yes.
The first volume of The Lord of the Rings, entitled The Fellowship of the Ring, was published in 1954. How many members make up The Fellowship?
Ooh.
Also known as Company of the Ring in the book. And then here is your possibility for bonus points.
Name them.
Dang, man. I will give
you... Wait, you get a point for like each one you name, though?
No, I have it broken down, but I don't want to tell you because then you could figure out how many there are.
Right. It doesn't matter. I'm losing anyway. Okay.
So, how many make up Fellowship of the Ring? And if you want to write down some names, you have the chance at some bonus points.
This might be the stupidest question this podcast has ever had. Not going to lie.
I knew you wouldn't like it, Kelly. Which is maybe why I wrote it. Jesus. While you guys are thinking whatever you're doing, I'll read it again for the listeners. First volume of The Lord of the Rings, entitled The Fellowship of the Ring, was published in 1954. How many members make up The Fellowship?
Can I add something real quick? Mm-hmm. If anybody gets all the people right, we can't be friends. Just saying. I'm just putting it out there. We are done.
I'll stall here a little bit longer while people are
right. Do you need to get the number right?
No.
Okay.
If you had to get the number right, I might have even gone plus minus for you.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'll give you guys a 10 count here. Write down these many names.
Yeah, whatever. Andy, do you know any of this?
I know some names. I don't know the number. I'm hoping that I know enough names to differentiate myself. From the rest of you.
You're definitely in the lead.
All right. We're going to call.
Hang on. Sorry, I'm trying to write down the names. Give me just a moment.
Yeah. Okay. And we'll give you all day.
No, we won't.
Give you all night.
Who's going on vacation anytime soon? Kelly, you're going somewhere.
Yeah, I'm going headed to Sedona, Arizona.
Oh, jealous.
I'm actually going to the Misty Mountains.
Hey. Okay.
I got it.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Looking forward to that.
That's cool.
One of my favorite places in the country.
Oh, my gosh.
I think I'm not going to want to come back. I mean, you
won't.
This is the time for me to do it.
Staying at a resort or like an Airbnb?
It's a resort, hotel resort.
Remember the name of it?
I do not.
Mr. Big Dive.
Booked all that.
All right, Nick, you're out of time.
Yeah. No, that's come on, Nick.
I thought it was nice. Give you some time. All right, deep breath. Let's reveal. I'll come back with the names in a minute. For the number, Nick wrote 8. Andy and Brian wrote 9, and Kelly wrote 5. So first of all, Correct answer is 9.
Yes! I knew that. What? I knew that.
So you each get those. You each get a point there.
Total mind missing? Blower.
What was I missing? The 9.
You wrote down a bunch of
count.
Yeah, Frodo, Samwise, Pippin. I could not think of the other.
So I will read you the names. You can judge your. You can score down. Your own tablet.
I want you to read mine.
How many points do we get?
I'm going to give you. You get a point for every 3.
Every 3. Okay.
Mary is the other guy. By the way,
correct.
It's Mary.
Yeah.
Got thank it. You. I can't think of that.
Yeah. So here we go. We got Frodo, Sam, Mary, Pippin, Aragorn, Boromir, Legolas, Gimli, and Gandalf.
Okay. All right. 1, 2. Do I get a point for that?
All right. I got 2. I got 6 of
Kelly
them.
Kelly wrote Bilbo Baggins, Liv Tyler, that old English guy, and orc.
Ian McClellan? Is that his
Ian
name?
Ian McClellan, yeah.
You got some characters, right? Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I couldn't think of... the dwarf's name.
Yeah, Gimli.
Gimli, I could not think of, and I could not think of Sean Bean's name either. How much did you get?
Just putting up. I got the number right, and I got 3. Frodo, Sam, Legolas. I also got Gandalf and Pippin.
All that matters is
not
Sean Bean 3, is the...
So you got an extra point.
He gets 2 points.
I get 2 points.
All right.
All that matters is Sean Bean is the Lord of Winterfell.
That's true. Sorry. He dies in everything.
It's more important.
So here's how I came up with 9. The 4
Nick
hobbits.
Came up.
Yeah.
The troll.
Yeah.
The elf.
Troll,
yeah, the little
the redhead
the
guy.
Little redheaded
he's a dwarf.
Guy.
He's a dwarf. Dwarf. He's a dwarf. The trolls are the mountain.
Watch
trolls.
Your mouth,
ever man.
What do you know? What happened
there's
in the Hobbit land?
4 hobbits, 1 dwarf,
yes,
1 elf. That's yes. 6.
2 elves because the old Mr. Anderson or whatever.
Mr. Anderson, no,
he's no, not the part, other no, guy. No, he's not part of it. No,
he's
one
not
elf.
One. He's not no.
one.
And
elf,
then
no.
I accidentally got it right.
Guys, this is enough. This is enough. Let's go.
Moving on. Then there's Legolas. Okay, so if you do the dwarf and the elf, that's
we are losing listeners.
I wasn't kidding.
Gandalf
he's
is
right.
7.
Yeah.
Sean you had to Bean's edit all this.
Sean Bean's character is 8.
Human.
And then Aragorn was king. 9. Dang it. I should have 9.
Nobody
I
wants
that.
I
come up with just, that. It's one of the things.
It doesn't matter. Just edit and move all on. Right. Let's go.
All right. We can move on.
All right. Well, you guys were figuring out the combination there. Of course, movie adaptations were released in 2001, 2002, and 2003 by Peter Jackson, and they earned a total of 17 Academy Awards.
Across all 3 of them?
Yes.
Oh, did they record them like all at once? Or
yeah.
Oh, really?
Pretty, New Zealand?
And then, yeah, mostly New Zealand.
I say that's pretty quick to...
It was Christmas, quick. Basically. Yeah, it came out. It's pretty wild, yeah.
Cool.
All right, let's move on to 7. Going to give you a plus or minus 2 on this one.
Oh, boy.
The movie The Wizard of Oz was based on L. Frank Baum's 1900 novel. And what year did this movie come out?
Oh.
Give you
number
a plus
that just popped right in my head.
Okay, plus or minus 2. That is the extent of my generosity on that. So, in what year did the movie The Wizard of Oz come out?
Oh, read it again. I'm sorry.
Sure. The movie The Wizard of Oz was based on L. Frank Baum's 1900 novel. In what year was the movie released?
Yep.
Plus or minus 2.
No, I'm spot on.
Hey. Do you really know this? You're good at this game in general.
I think I do.
You're really good at movie releases.
I was kind of joking, but I think I got it.
I don't know.
Everybody got something?
I thought you were asking for the book originally.
Sure.
Nope. Told you. 1900.
I know. Yeah. As usual, not paying attention.
All right. Everybody's got an answer. We're going to start with Kelly, who wrote 1924. Brian wrote 1939. Andy wrote 1958. And Nick wrote 1940. We have 2 correct answers. One of them is exact, 1939.
Wow.
Good job,
well done, gentlemen.
So Nick and Brian get a
I'll
point.
I'll take it.
Cutting edge.
That's what I was trying to I was trying to narrow it down because I remember when they went to sound. I remember that year.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I was trying to base off of that.
Yeah.
Right. While the movie was popular at the box office, it did not make a profit until its re-release in 49. According to the U.S. Library of Congress, it is the most seen film in cinematic history.
I believe that.
That's
that
hot.
It's
on TV every year.
Thanksgiving,
Christmas, it's on. Yeah, I get that.
They show it at the Sphere in Vegas in this
really?
Immersive 4D kind of
like
when the tornado's going on.
I'd like to see
there's
that.
Stuff
That's cool.
Blowing in the air.
That's cool, yeah.
It's supposed to be pretty cool.
I do watch it when it comes on at least once through the holidays because I, yeah.
Beginning to end or you catch it in the middle and finish it out?
I try at least one time to watch the beginning because it's such a yeah. It's
just trying to figure out when the last time I saw it from opening to closing credits.
Yeah,
sure.
It's been really, maybe never. I don't know.
Wow. Yeah. All right, here we go with question number 8. Adapted for the big screen in 1987 by Rob Reiner, this movie, based on a 1973 novel by the same name, follows the story of a young farm girl named Buttercup and her true love, Westley.
I need that again.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a
maybe a couple times.
A mouthful. Yeah. Here we go. Adapted for the big screen in 1987 by Rob Reiner. This movie is based on a 1973 novel by the same name and follows the story of a young farm girl named Buttercup and her true love, Westley.
Nick just marker dropped.
He's onto his mic.
Hundo.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
I have no clue.
No, me neither.
I'm going to cap my pen, set it down, and wait for an answer.
Wonderful film.
It is. I agree. People are wondering if that's a hint in some way.
I'm honing.
No, it's not a hint.
Honing in on it?
What year? What year?
Came out in 87.
87.
I don't believe that. So you're okay.
Rob Reiner movie.
You got it?
No, but I might. Based on your conversation.
Actually. But just saying because it's a good movie?
The fact that you both like it, it narrows it down to some degree.
Okay. Yeah. All right, I'll give you that.
Kelly's beside himself.
You abstaining, Kelly?
Because I think I have to, man.
Running out of patience.
I really have to.
Okay.
Now I can't.
No, too late. Let's roll.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Patience.
Okay, here we go. Let's reveal. The Princess Bride from Nick, okay. Fletch from Andy, My Girl from Kelly. Right.
Good call.
Correct answer is The Princess
Bride.
That is a great movie. That is a great movie. Yeah.
I even had Buttercup. A hint in there. I said Buttercup. True love.
Yeah.
True love.
Well, it was Buttercup and Wesley. That it was
different for me. Knowing 100%. Nick's butter kick. Movies, I figured it was going to be terrible, to be honest. But that was good. Good for you.
Shut your mouth.
I'm just saying. You like the Fast
for the record, I was
going like to
Fast and the Furious. The Funny Farm.
The Funny Farm occurred.
That's what I was going to pivot to.
That was like 91, 92, I bet.
Yeah, it was a little later, I guess.
The Funny Farm or just Funny Farm?
Funny Farm.
Chevy Chase.
Yeah, it was 80s.
Yeah.
Was that late 80s?
I'd say so.
Yeah. Sorry. No, do your flavor text.
Wait. Princess Bride?
No.
Oh, Princess Bride.
Princess Bride was 87.
Oh, good.
That's your problem.
I thought we said that. Yeah.
So the movie was a critical success and gained cult classic popularity after its release on home video. The movie has become highly quotable, including Inconceivable, As You Wish, Mostly Dead, and of course, Hello, My Name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father.
Prepare to die.
All right. Well, we are through 8. How are we looking on the scoreboard, Nick?
Things have changed.
Okay.
I can say that. Mm. Except for who's in last. That's still you, Brian. Good job.
I don't know why I'm here.
Kelly, you have 6. Andy has 7. And I have 8.
What is going on here?
I have come roaring back with 2 questions left.
I have to get a bigger knowledge of... The Hobbit. There. I guess I'm going to start watching these movies.
Yeah. I'm not going to start doing that. I should have had the 9, though, but yeah, I'm an idiot. Yeah. Go ahead, Scotty.
Thank you, Nick, for telling me what to do. Here we go with question number 9. Based on a 1960 novel of the same name, this 1962 movie stars Gregory Peck as Atticus Finch, a Depression-era lawyer, educating his children against prejudice while defending a black man who is falsely accused of a heinous crime.
Locked and loaded.
Just take my headphones off at this point.
You're checking out.
You know this.
Come on.
I know you know this. Yeah. When you hear it, you'll know it then.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
All right, one more time for listeners. Based on this 1960 novel of the same name, this 1962 movie stars Gregory Peck as Atticus Finch, a Depression-era lawyer educating his children against prejudice while defending a black man who is falsely accused of a heinous crime. Let's reveal To Kill a Mockingbird from everyone, except Brian, who abstained. And that, of course, is the correct answer.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. Never would have got there.
Really?
Not even close.
Oh, wow.
Gregory Peck, the ballet dancer?
Is that true? Is he a ballet dancer?
No.
What's the guy that's a ballet dancer?
Oh, are you thinking of the tap dancer?
Gregory Hines?
Gregory Hines, okay. Yeah.
I was way off. Never mind.
Gregory Peck was a white. Gregory Hines was
he was a
not.
White. Yeah. I love it. Our duck was a white.
Edit.
I'm trying to decide if we're going to leave that.
That's tough. That's good point. Andy, I'm with you.
You got time to figure that out.
Yeah, it's okay.
I've got 9-8 going in the last question. I like it.
So, To Kill a Mockingbird won the Pulitzer Prize a year after its release. Widely considered a classic in modern American literature, the movie was nominated for 8 Oscars, winning 3.
Who's the author?
Harper Lee.
Yeah.
She only wrote like 2 nice. Books. Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
Isn't
that crazy? Like, for being that big, she wrote 2 books.
You're dropping knowledge on the author.
What are you doing, dude?
Yeah, because, she wrote 2 books, which is surprising, like, because how huge that was. She only wrote 2 books.
Dude, that is an enigma. He's dropping knowledge about your author.
Enigma, my friend. Good for you.
Well, you guys are smart, but I'm on a different level.
Apparently.
I'm what you call stupid smart.
All right, we have 2 possible points.
Oh, this is a 2-pointer,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, baby. That's awesome.
Uh-oh.
We got 2 chances for
Nick. Nick to get nothing and Andy to get
This is tight. This is tight.
Yeah.
And I need 2.
Oh.
Okay, here we go. The movie, Stand By Me, is based on a 1982 novella with a different title. Name the author. You get a point. Name the title of the novella. You get another point.
Well, looks like I'm finishing 3rd because these guys are writing. Yeah, I don't know either.
Stand By Me. Name the name of the author or the writer.
It's based on an 82 novella with a different title.
Yes.
So name the author of the book. And then if you give me the title of the novella, I will give you another point.
Nick, where are you at?
Feel pretty good.
Dang it.
Feel pretty good.
The novella parts, I'm stuck there.
I feel pretty good about that. I feel pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, if I am wrong, I'm not wrong by a lot. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I got
I'm
you.
In, I'm, like it. I'm I like def- it. I'm definitely in the ballpark. I think this is right. Yeah.
Yeah, the name of the novella is escaping me. Just made something up. You know it, Brian?
I know the author. I don't know the...
All right. Wow. I think everyone's ready for me to say reveal. Nick wrote The Body, Stephen King. Orson Welles' Boys of Summer from Andy.
Oh, wow.
Stephen King, Lookout from Brian.
That was a joke.
Stephen King, The Dead Body. The author is Stephen King.
Yep.
And the name is The Body.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Look at that.
Boom.
Nick doubles down.
Yes, he does.
I had no idea that was Stephen King even.
Really?
I had no clue.
I've been watching Welcome to Derry.
Yeah, very good.
Have you watched that? Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Me and my daughter started this past weekend. Yeah.
Well, before we reveal the winner, which I think we all know who that is.
Yes, we do.
Let me tell you.
He'll never let us forget.
Right.
Nope.
Different Seasons is a collection of 4 novellas, 3 of which have been turned into movies, with the other 2 being Apt People, and The Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, boy.
Stand By Me is essentially 1 extended flashback from the perspective of writer Gordon LaChance, in which he retells the events of Labor Day weekend in 1959.
Okay.
One of my top 5 favorite movies.
Love that movie. It's great.
One of the top 5
favorite movies. Argument.
Leeches. Yes.
Yeah. It's an easy, it's a good rewatch. You just watch it. Yeah.
So good.
All right. Well,
I've done the leech thing. It's really not that cool. Seriously, like that sucks.
All right, Nick. We've made it through 10. Give us the score.
All right. Brian, you ended with 5.
Yep.
Let's see. Kelly, Andy. You ended with 8. Andy had 9.
Oh.
And I ended with 11.
I thought we tied,
well
Andy.
Done.
Victor.
I think you gave Andy a miss.
No.
No, that's good.
Oh, no. You didn't get Stephen King. My bad. You tied.
Uh-oh.
You're right.
I thought I finished in 3rd, actually.
I figure everybody had Stephen King, but you didn't.
Hey, congrats, Nick.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Let's get your applause again.
Thank you.
Nerd.
All right.
Good job, Nick. Good job.
I earned that one.
Turn that off.
That was a good one.
So I'm going to save the tiebreaker for another time, but it was a lightning round.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
Instead of a guess the numbers.
Hold on to that one.
So I took a picture of something to remind me of the answers. But anyway, congratulations to Nick.
Thank you.
Let's
do more movie trivia, guys.
Yeah, right.
Jeez.
Well, we covered a lot of classics, both novels and movies. And I'm just wondering, is there a movie you are embarrassed to say you've never seen?
Oh, definitely.
Some of the greats, like Streetcar Named Desire.
I've never seen that.
Citizen Kane, I've never seen.
I've watched that one.
I have not. I haven't seen Casablanca. I haven't seen Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, I haven't seen some of those,
but that does not embarrass me at all. Oh. Like, I'm with you. Now, one, I will say that embarrasses me a little bit. I've seen pieces. Not enough to say I've seen pieces and seen the whole thing. Not even close, but Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Mm.
I've only seen a few.
You know, I'm with you on that.
I think that's a pretty good answer, actually.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
But like Casablanca and all that, I haven't seen it, but I haven't seen those. I did not feel embarrassed about that at all.
I missed that part about being embarrassed.
Yeah, I'm not embarrassed about that at all.
Yeah.
The first one, for a long time, kind of pretend that you've seen, you just kind of laugh along when other people make jokes, was The Big Lebowski. You guys know this. It was only a couple years ago that I saw it for the first time.
Right.
Did you enjoy it?
How do you not? So, I mean, if you have any reasonable sense of humor, I'm just asking.
So good.
But another example of that, which is why I addressed that one, where you guys make a lot of references and I just kind of laugh along and let it happen, is Blazing Saddles. Never seen it.
Okay.
Well, you're coming over next week for a movie. I'll make the popcorn.
Arguably the greatest comedy ever.
I've heard that, and it was my father-in-law's favorite movie, I believe, of all time.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Just one of those things. It's just never sat down to do it.
I
saw The Godfather, I think, later life.
I'm really, really upset, am I?
Perfect movie.
Well, I've said this before, maybe on a garage night when we're hanging out, but I saw Goodfellas within the last 5 years.
Yeah. I remember that the next time I saw you when you had just seen it.
Yeah.
We're going to have a conversation off the air.
Probably Brian's other favorite movie.
I know. It probably is. But yeah.
Autobiography. He wishes.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thanks for playing along today, and congratulations again, Nick.
Thank you, Doc.
Yeah, nice.
Keep writing those movie trivias.
Nice job. Yeah, culture is something that falls into all our wheelhouse, but that is definitely Nick's.
That's
area
my bag,
of expertise.
Man.
About time.
Bag.
Jeez.
I had one not too long ago.
You did.
But
you won
before that.
There was a bit of a hiatus.
You had a gap. But you won not too long.
There was a big gap.
Absolute
drought.
For sure.
All right. Well, we're going to see you next week, guys. That's going to do it for this episode of the Ultimate Trivia Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget, subscribe both on your favorite podcast app and run over to YouTube and hit subscribe there as well. Check out our show notes. There's all kinds of good stuff in there. We'll see you next time with more trivia and more fun. Until then, keep your brain sharp and those bellies laughing.
Dude, that is a fantastic shirt.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. You can get one yourself. You didn't know this?
No, I didn't. Where do you get that?
We got a merch store. You can find the link on our website. We've partnered with Warrior Logo Wear, a veteran-owned custom apparel shop, and they've created a whole store for us. Doc, didn't you use this for your daughter's soccer team?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because they have no minimum order. So if I just need to buy a couple shirts, don't have to worry. It's not going to cost me anything extra.
That's awesome. Check them out yourself. You got a small business like we do or a sports program, you want some custom apparel, check out warriorlogowear.com, and they'll get you all hooked up.